We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here? Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 105, a show that goes deep. So deep, in fact, you'd say that's what she said.
Wow.
I actually changed that joke like last minute. I was like, it was a dumb joke. So I was like, just change it to that.
All right. Good job.
Each episode, we'll check in. We're going to have some laughs to talk all about the lore of Warcraft, one or two topics at a time. My name is Jin, and I wouldn't exactly call myself an alpha male, but I do have some evidence that may say otherwise. And someone else cool enough to know that the concept of an alpha male, at least when it comes to wolves, is a load of shit. It's Allie. Although she's also quite alpha-y.
Most horrible phrase ever, and I cannot believe you used alpha male. Dork. Gosh. Well, I mean, I get where you're going there. I get it, but gosh.
Yeah, you gotta be alpha male. You gotta win, or I don't even know. It's
no, you can just stop. It's okay. Just stop. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. That's what that makes me feel.
Yeah. Anyone who claims that in reality, I think you might be listening to the wrong podcast. That's all I'm saying.
True story.
So, besides making fun of anyone who calls himself an alpha male with all sincerity, what have you been up to, Allie?
I'm playing alpha.
Yeah.
Hence your joke.
Hence my horrible jokes.
Horrible joke. I still love you, though. It's okay. No, I've been enjoying alpha. I completed, like, phase one, I think it's being called. I don't know.
For zone-ish kind of thing?
You get alpha in zones, right? Usually, yeah. At least that's how it's been going lately. So, you know, as Isle of Dorne, I completed that. Did a lot of delves. Let me tell you, I'm not going to spoil things and get into it, but let me tell you. I've always had a soft spot for Bran Bronzebeard. Like, ever since questing on my rogue back in the day, like, I decided she was a Bronzebeard after hanging out with him because I loved him. Still love him. You get to do delves with him, as most of you know by now. Sometimes he'll occasionally loot with you and he'll find some gold and literally chuck it at you. Like, there is a throwing gold at you animation, and it's like, I got some loot for you, and like, he will chuck this gold at you, and for some reason it makes me laugh every time, and I love it.
Yeah, it's great when he's like, find some gold.
What's really nice too is, you know, something that's not really been discussed so far that is happening right now in delves is if there is like ore to be mined, you're not a miner, he'll mine it for you. And then also throw it at you. So, like, which is awesome.
He's apparently not an herbalist, though. He did not throw the herbs at me.
Really? That's interesting, because he totally did for me. Yeah, and I'm an herbalist, but I'm not a miner. Did you, like, take him over to it?
No, I wasn't like, hey, Bran, get your ass over here. But I'm an alpha. Yeah, I wasn't
next time,
about
just
it.
Walk him. You got to test it, man. Walk him over. That's what we're doing. We're supposed to test it, right? So walk him over to the flowers. And see if he'll pick them for you. And they give you
flowers.
All right.
Well, next time
flowers.
I see flowers, I'm going to be like, hey, Branny boy.
Just walk over there. Yeah.
Although I was really sad because I was like, I found this thing where it's like, oh, it's this turtle. And he's like standing over the corpse of it, like eating up fish. And he's like, oh, man, he really needs another fish. And I'm like, oh, maybe rolled up gin over here. I'm going to go get this turtle some fish. I like his.
I know which turtle you're talking about. I did not go find fish.
You son of a bitch. I didn't learn fishing. I can't get him some fish because no one's dropping fish.
I was like, have I gotten fish yet? And I actually went over to like to see if I could try any fishing. And I couldn't. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, turtle.
I'm sorry, turtle.
I'll get you in retail, I promise.
Oh, yeah. I'll totally help you in retail.
So sad.
When you're a real turtle, I will help you.
When you're a real turtle.
You're a fake turtle right now.
I'm a real turtle. Yeah. But yeah, all that to say, like, I'm not going to get into spoilers and story and stuff. But so far from what I've seen, I'm really enjoying it. And I think it's great that in alpha this time around, like usually like in the past, they'll just do no cutscene or, you know, black screen with the red X, or they'll pick a cutscene from back in the day, or
Thrall
and just repeat that the whole and just repeat that. But this time they're doing this like really cool, like basic view overview of what happens during the cinematic without too many spoilers, just so you have an idea for the story, but in like Star Wars text fashion where it just like goes up the screen and stuff. Like
it's just like a little scroll.
I guess it doesn't really fade away like Star Wars, it just goes up. But it was, I don't know, for some reason I really like it.
It's more of a raise the roof than a doesn't do the, you know, where
it doesn't go into the distance of space.
Right, yeah.
I've been watching Star Wars lately during work. It's fine. Data entry. And what happens?
Sure.
Happens. But anyways, a lot of alpha. Getting more of the meta achievement done for good boy Tyvon. I think there's Alderaath. Time Rift eludes me. I am past exalted with Tor'Dormi and all the time stuff. And I've done so many rifts. I have yet to see Alderaath. And that's the last achievement I need for the time rifts for Tyvon. It's pissing me off. I've done so many rifts too.
Yeah.
So many. Ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but that's like the only one I've ever been to. Like,
really?
That and like, I think I went to like the Mad Max world or whatever one time, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
Warzeroth or whatever they tried to call it. It's very silly. It's a very silly place but Camelot is.
Yes, it is. But yeah, all in all, like, I'm almost done with the Baby Whelp stuff. Got more of the storm killings done and just kind of cruising along at a decent pace.
Wow.
Or just getting the good boy.
Are you smelly yet?
Am I smelly yet? Which one is that again?
Let's see, you got the reputation, the renown. Sorry.
The renown.
Finally got smelly.
Got smelly
with the Niffin. Yep. I ended up just buying it with flight stones in the end, but I did it.
Oh, you can do that? Oh, sweet. I should tell you that.
It's small amounts, but like if you're just trying to knock out the or whatever.
World quest, like, down there, give like two reputation.
It's renown. Really it's small, stupid. Right? Yeah. Like,
it's lame.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's what I did with Xiao Hao.
But.
Remember, I was just like, oh, time walking badges. Here is like all the time walking badges.
Yeah, because I tried that grind when I came back in Panda, and I'm like, nope, we're not doing this.
I played the crap out of that back in the day. I didn't even come close when it was current content. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I tried during current, when I finally got the gear up and everything, I jumped into it, and that was no go. Anyways, that is me, and I'm eager to get into more alpha and more Tyvon chasing. And now season 4 dropped. That goodies. I guess,
yeah, as of today, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then soon Pandemonium.
On the 16th? Yeah. Because it comes out after 10/7.
Yes.
Yeah, it comes out like a week after 10/7. So I think Remix comes on the 16th? I don't know, it's May.
Something like that,
Soon. It's soon. 10/7 is right around the corner.
Good stuff. I'm so excited.
We're going to get to Harbinger Quest.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm just
Harbinger Quest.
Considering some things in Alpha, like I need to know these Harbinger Quests are what happens.
Because the
reasons
quests?
And things.
What the heck is this thing that they keep
what
like, we're
happening?
Not going to tell you. You're not going to know shit until you get the freaking box and it goes live. That's what Blizzard's been telling us.
I'm actually really glad, like, the first, like, scenario bit,
that.
Like, I want to know things, but I'm glad they're not testing it, so it is hopefully remains spoiler-free for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, if you haven't heard anyone, it's the intro scenario that no one gets to see until the actual day of the expansion. Remember the little intro scenario in Legion where we Varian died? So, it's one of those things. So, no, there's no testy test. You're not going to know what happens in that intro scenario until the expansion goes live. Even if you get beta, you won't know. They even said it. You don't get it in beta either.
It's true. And I like that they're doing it. It's good.
Yeah. That's what it is.
What have you been up to there, buddy?
I don't know. I kind of been talking about what I've been doing this whole time, too, because it's been alpha, too. Like,
that's fair.
I have not been doing the Tyvon stuff. Tyvon, I don't know.
Have you been playing Warcraft Rumble with the Darkmoon Fair?
Oh, heck yeah.
Those quests have been so much fun, except the sappers. When the sappers get out of control... Oh, it gets out of control real quick.
Better have a flame wicker ready, or Drake, just
something.
Back, come back. My favorite actually is March of the Murlocs, where you get just like swarms of Murlocs
coming out. Also, the random giant chickens. That's also amazing. Yeah, I love the giant chickens. But yeah, it's I'm sad it's almost over, but it's been a lot of fun. But apparently it's going to be back again, so
yeah, well, it's almost over. Like, whew. Yeah, the rest of my guild, these are like, hurry up and grind up some tickets, because I've been getting them every day, and I still have like only halfway through the freaking thing with Bob's. Not new.
I think I only missed one day.
I think I've did 2,600 tickets that I've got so far. Look at me go. So many tickets.
Yay. Yeah. Go team go.
Yeah, man, I'm up to 131 sigils, so I've been playing the crap out of whole.
Yeah, you have. Good job.
Grave Rumble. Yeah, so.
You got 123.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a little rough right around there.
Yeah, definitely feeling it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that I'm now at the point in Rumble where I'm maxing out, like, my armies, like, they're 100% golds. Not on all of them, but a lot of them.
I'm getting there, yeah.
Like, I've got more rares now than even uncommons. I even have one epic now. That was a grind to get.
Have you tried Anixia yet again?
Oh, no.
Not even just dip your toes in to see like how far you can get?
No. I did a while ago. And I did take down that one tower that's like right there.
Okay, so you got there that first turn.
But then it's like, level 30, yeah. You're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Anixia yet. I think I would like to get at least around average of, I'm thinking 27, 28 before I even really dip my toes in there.
Yeah.
So that way it's at least like thought that you could get through it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've beat some of those heroic missions when they're yellow, or I think I've even done when it was orange.
Yeah, I've done never some of those, depending on the ones. A red one. No.
No. That's really about it. We already kind of talked about Alpha and some fun stuff like that. I don't think I've completely finished the first zone, but I'm just kind of like poking around and looking. I'm not really paying attention to quest lines. I'm just running around and just doing stuff. I'm like, oh, what's this? Ooh, what's this?
Yeah, I'm trying not to read too many quest texts. Like, I'll read enough here and there, like sort of gist of what's happening, but I want to save some stuff for retail when I'm doing it live. So trying to find that balance between the two.
Yeah, I usually when I, you know, when the expansion comes out, I'll take my time, read all the quest texts and things like that. But I don't really explore nooks and crannies that much. So I'm like, oh, man, I'll take this opportunity on this whole alpha to go see what's in a cave or go see what's over here and just go off the beaten track for once rather than just following the quest markers. So
there you go.
That's good job. What I've been doing. It's been fun. Yeah. Hence me finding the turtle. I was like, oh, turtle. What's this turtle doing over here? And now I need to go get fishing, apparently. So, whatever. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, there's also now a thing to read. Mm-hmm.
There's a thing to read. It's my thing to read.
It is.
That's how this goes. Hey, guess what? With all the information that's swirling around right now, it's hard to keep track. That's why you turn to sources like this one, where we tell you all the hard-hitting, well, I wouldn't call it what we do here, journalism, but it's fun. So if you like fun and you want to support it, keep listening till the end of the episode to find out how.
I think fun better describes what we do over here than
it's true.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
Oh, hey everyone! If you haven't already could tell, we're both really excited because this is probably like everyone's favorite time, especially if you're in the content creator biz. Everyone's favorite time. And being a World of Warcraft content creator.
Yeah.
It's when new stuff, you finally get your hands on it. You're like, oh my God, what is this? Oh, what is this? It's so fun. Because, yeah, Blizzard freaking opened up the curtain and said, looky, looky, what do we have here? This is what we have been working on since we gave you a little sneaky peek over there at the BlizzCon in Irvine, California. How you doing? And that's what they did. Wow, they gave us a little sneaky peek.
They did. It was like, well, it wasn't Irvine. We were in Anaheim.
Whatever. Sure, I guess. It's like a 40-mile drive. Okay. It's a good point. Hi. We were in Anaheim. Got it.
Hi.
Yeah. Anyway, I just do need to let everyone know that we're not going to be discussing anything from the alpha that's like game-breaking, horrible, spoilery. However, this is spoiler stuff. If you want to go in 100% fresho, right? But all of this is going to be stuff that you learn if you just watch that video on the launcher. This is kind of like Blizzard-approved spoilers, in my opinion. So here we are talking about it.
Yeah.
So, but again, if you want to go just squeaky clean, I know nothing. I just know there's an expansion called The War Within, and I'm going to play it. Hey, here's your warning.
I don't know why you got to do it in front of the kid with the effing. All you got to do is say earmuffs to him. Earmuffs.
Okay, well, without wasting any more time, let's talk about all things Alpha and what's going on in there. So, we gotta start out and we gotta introduce the stakes, right? Because Dragonflight, they're like, okay, Blizzard, this is fun. I liked this expansion. But where are the stakes?
Yeah.
There's just a couple dragons mad at each other. They're not even mad at us. They're just mad at each other. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of a good point. Anyway, let's talk about the stakes for the War Within.
Before we talk about Alpha, what can you summarize about The War Within, Ian?
Well, so The War Within, I mean, of course, it is the 10th expansion to well-known video game World of Warcraft. But even, I think, more special to us, it's the beginning of the World Soul Saga. It's the beginning of probably the most ambitious story we've ever tried to tell in WoW. So as you know, all expansions do, it kicks off with a journey to a new place. But really, this is going to be beginning to set the stage and establish the stakes for a conflict that threatens not just, you know, ourselves and our families and those we hold dear, but the very world that we call home, the very world beneath our feet that's been home to all of our adventures. And if we don't win this one, nothing else matters.
Well, there you go. If we don't win this one, nothing else matters. So do you think they did it, Allie? Did they put some stakes in there? Are we a little worried?
We are a little worried. I'm wondering, first off, if we're getting some stakes coming 10-2-7 with our Harbinger quest, because Zalatath reasons. But they're dropping enough hints and getting enough of a setup going that, like, we know, like, some shit's going to go down, right? Like, some bad things are going to happen. We're not going to always win. And there's some big things that we're going to have to deal with. And I'm very excited. Like, I totally agree with you. Dragonflight has been great. I've enjoyed it. It's been a nice little reset, a nice little, like, a little bit calm. Like, it's been lovely. I've really enjoyed Dragonflight, but you're right. Like there were always stakes. Like, as expansion's going on, we're seeing, you know, some Eridacron things or whatever. Like, it's starting to, like, slowly be there. Yeah. A little bit of foundation level there, if you will. But now we're starting to really see, like, oh, there's some stuff that's about to happen. Threat level, like, midnight.
It's like, hey, Eridacron, what are you doing with that fan? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Whoa, that's a big fan. What are you doing? Whoa, that's a lot of shit that you just piled in front of that fan. What are you doing? Why'd you turn it on? Who's that behind you? Why did you give Zalatath a spooky thing from Gallagher? Okay, all right. Shit's about to hit. It's about to go down.
Right, exactly.
That's basically what Dragonflight was. It's like, oh, this is nice. Dragonflight's fun. And then we have a guy in the background going, hey, guys, watch this.
Basically. Let's go. And I have to say, it was really nice to see Ian in the WoW cast. Like, I feel like he's been a little, like, MIA lately, just, you know, busy with things, and he hasn't been as, like, around for interviews or this, that, and the other. So, like, I feel like we haven't seen him in a while. So it was nice to see he's still there working it.
Yeah, it was great. All right. One of the things, obviously, Ian brought up in this thing is he said that we're kicking off the World Soul Saga, and it is the most ambitious storytelling that they have ever done, which is exciting to me. I think it's really awesome. And as I was kind of thinking about it, especially setting it up in the trilogy and everything like that, and all the kind of crazy crap that's kind of going down and the stuff more we will be talking about, trust me, it kind of feels like, because everyone has already made the, for example, the, you know, Midnight is kind of like the Empire moment, right? That's where we're probably going. Right. Well, it seems, because, you know, all these heroes' journeys and all these stories, they're a lot of similarities, put it that way. A lot of similarities, especially when you do the trilogy. Feels like this one's kind of a new hope. And let's just say, so a lot of voices cried out in pain and suddenly were silenced, right? As if, like, a something big, again, thing happened that we will probably talk about. So... just saying.
Yeah.
Little New Hopey vibes is all I'm getting at. And Princess Leia just got to watch something go boom. Like, you know. Don't worry, it's not a planet.
No.
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 No, we'll get there soon enough. All right. But, I mean, do you kind of agree? Does it feel like that's kind of what they're doing? They're just like, you know what? We're tearing out all the stops. You guys want stakes? We'll give you some frickin' stakes.
Yeah, I mean, they've already said, like, you know, we're not going to always win. And there's some moments that kind of make you feel already, just beginning of Alpha, where you kind of starting to see that, oh, maybe we're not going to always win. This is a thing.
It is certainly different. It's certainly got different vibes, especially when you first wake up in a pile of rubble. It'd run to be like a D&D campaign where it's like, oh, you all wake in a prison cell. It's like,
right.
Right. Like just the kind of that kind of crap where it's like, oh, that's not good.
But we're not going to talk about, well, I guess they mentioned it in the WoW cast.
They do. They that's give true. It away.
We did put
they
the spoiler warning
give
on.
It away.
Yeah, they do. That's true. Okay.
Yeah. And they give plenty of footage of the wreckage. And you're like, oh, that seems awful familiar.
Yeah. And as you go around that wreckage, you definitely see a lot of familiar items and some familiar bodies and whatnot.
All right. Well, obviously, Ian is over here talking about, too, that, you know, If we don't win this one, there is nothing. I mean, you could have said the same thing about Shadowlands, because, I mean, Silval wanted to remake reality, whatever that
meant. Yeah, that's an issue.
Whatever that was. But anyway, this one's like, oh, they're going to kill our planet, basically. Okay, I don't like that. That's no bueno. That's no bueno at all. So, yeah. I mean, is it just like they're going to, like, I don't know. How do you think they're going to corrupt a soul? I mean, is it just going to be like, oh, here's some void jujus. Void Titan. Yeah. Like they've been saying in Chronicle all along. Is that kind of what you're thinking they're probably going to go with?
It might be. I mean, when you know, Ysara, as we like to call him, got ripped out, like, who knows if Amonthul got all the bits of it, right?
Well, there's a book that talked about Amonthul ripping something else out of the planet, and he didn't get all the bits and bobs out of that either. So there definitely might be some of that. Because there's some speculation going around in the community about some roots that you can see in one of the zones might be tied to that thing that got brought up in that book that one time. So,
oh,
something to ponder about. I'll put it out there.
Oh,
so yeah, Amonthul, he's not really great at pulling weeds. That's all I'm saying. He's not good. He doesn't.
And trust me, if you don't do it right, it comes right back.
Yeah, he doesn't grasp it by the base, right?
My poor flowers.
Right? He probably wasn't even wearing a glove either. You know how they get those little spiny things in your fingers and you're like, son of a bitch, shit.
Or he got lazy, right? Like he plucked part of it and the rest of it is, you know, the roots and stuff stay in the ground. And it's just like, I'll just dig in the mud to get it. It's probably fine. He's like,
it'll be fine.
It's not fine.
It's not.
I have to go pull a whole bunch of weeds this weekend because Colorado.
I have some weeds to pull, but I already did a lot of that already, so I don't have too many yet left. But yeah, but I had a lot. All right. Well, there is also a little bit of an elephant in the room that we have to address. Allie, I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to bring it up.
Do it.
Yeah, so if later on in War Within you find yourself, you know, wiping to a raid somewhere, just blame the Shadow Priests for not just putting the knife down.
Yeah, why didn't they
walk away from the talking dagger, and we wouldn't be here.
Oh my
and
God.
Yet,
why, Allie? Why didn't you put the knife down?
Okay, first off, you're all just jealous that you're not a priest and got to hang out with Xalatath, who, when you kill something and she says delicious, it's just very satisfying. You guys just don't understand. Okay, first off, second off, really think about it. If we didn't do what we did with Xalatath,
what'd you do with Xalatath? Whoa,
yeah, we did so many things with Xalatath. If we didn't do what we did with Xalatath, maybe Nazoth would have won, right? No, I'm just saying, like, maybe Nazoth would have won if we didn't do what we did with Xalatath.
All right. Well, I suppose in all seriousness, I guess we could move on, even though I don't know. It just seemed ill-advised to you know, play with that dagger, but what are you gonna do?
Look, she's very enticing.
That's true.
It's hard to deny her. It really is.
All right, well, I mean, I understand. I understand. Because I mean, as cool as a lot of the friggin', you know, artifact weapons and all that kind of were, the Fury Warrior weren't all that great. They were kind of just like, oh, ah, these two swords,
Right? Well, plus really, like, if you think about it, we're a lore podcast, right? Xalatath was telling me stories. She was giving me information. Mm-hmm. How am I going to say no, Xalatath? Don't talk to me. I'm not going to hang out with you. I don't need this information. I need all the information. Please, Xalatath, talk to me more.
All right. So it sounds to me like shadow priests are very gullible to misinformation. Okay, that's what we now know. Okay.
So. Is it misinformation, though?
I don't know. It seems to me like Xalatath is saying something and you're listening. You know, that's just, I don't know. That's just, that seems.
It seems to me that you're just jealous that you don't have the bond so that we have.
I'm so jealous. Like, you have no idea with the bounds of my jealousness that I'm like, I have a sword that Odin has gave me. I don't know. It's dumb. And you're over there having long walks on the beach with Xalatath and having chats about,
it's true.
You know.
It's true.
So what are you going to do next? Huh? How you been? I have an eyeball on my head because of you. Do you know that? Do you know that? I have an eyeball on my head because of you. I love you that much, Xalatath. That's Allie.
And
that's
until literally something Allie.
She still has an eyeball on her head.
I'm not giving it up yet. I'm holding out hope that something's going to happen or I get some kind of cool interaction or
Shadow
something.
Shadow priests are weird. I'm just saying.
And I'm even more weird because I main holy, but I have a lot of fun with that shadow, so I'm just all sorts of twisted.
Clearly. All right, well, let's go ahead and keep on going with the funsies that they decided to just let everyone know about what's going on in Alpha.
Yeah, I mean, the name The War Within is one that has a couple of layers to it, right? Obviously, we're literally delving beneath the surface of Azeroth and going to be battling within our world. But this is also a story that involves a lot of inner turmoil and inner conflict. And Anduin is probably the most torn of any of our cast of heroes, given what he went through in the Shadowlands. And his journey into the darkness as he seeks to rediscover his own light is a big part of the narrative arc.
All right. Now, obviously, it was being the cinematic. He even said, I ain't got no light no more. And then also in another cinematic, he was like having... Like, he was having a very emotional, teary time because the light was so beautiful that he was calling down. So big contrast, right? Big contrast of Anduin when he was a gleaming, young, beautiful boy with the glowing locks of the blonde. Now that he's chippy-chopped it with his no longer glowing Charlemagne. And then he'd update his model in Alpha, but it'll get better. It'll get better.
Did you notice that too?
Yeah, that's an early draft. It's fine.
Yeah.
It'll get better, people. It'll get better. Anyway, so obviously we kind of assumed old Anduin would find his way back to the light, right? Did you assume that?
I've been really torn on this because I feel like ultimately he will. But I'm sorry, I'm not letting go of the fact that he had that little shadow tendril. Like, there's a little bit of shadow in there somewhere. And so I'm with Xalatath around now and all this jazz happening, like, probably, I'm probably 70-30. 70, he'll find the light again, all that. Oh. 30% is the what-ifs of, or maybe he'll embrace the shadow. Or maybe become more disc paladin something or other.
Just go
multi-class,
quadruple class at this point. I don't know. His new name will be Medan.
No. Did not do that to him.
Oh, he'll be a Thrall will teach him how to be a shaman, and he'll be excellent at it.
Maybe.
No. No, honestly, if anything, he'll probably have long walks on the beach with, Ilaria talking about the void and the light and all of that, those natures. And
yeah.
And then Velen will be like, whoa, Larry, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing to my precious baby boy?
Don't. Listen, Larry, your new outfit might be amazing.
That is.
I need it. I need that transmog. It's so good.
I just need the haircut. Like on my dwarf also, too.
Yeah. Haircut's good too. Yeah. But her new outfit. Whoo. Man, do I love that.
Hilaria went to like the top-notch tailor or something. Ew. It is gorgeous. It is
so good.
Yeah. So I don't know. So you're thinking 70-30, our poor boy. I think, in my opinion, yeah, he probably will go more disc. He probably will realize that, you know, two sides of the same coin. Wow. All that kind of great kind of stuff. Because, yeah, he's a little more mature now. He's not just, oh, it's the light. Light be with you. Ah. He's like, sometimes you got to get down here and dig in the dirt with the common folk and use some void, baby. So that's how I'm thinking is going to happen. Yeah, I mean, he's got that little shadow tendril. He's like, that's not just for a party trick. That's not all it's for. He's not like, hey, how you doing?
It's more, look what I can do.
Like a wigga, 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 wigga. No. So, all right. So we think he's going to be, he's not going to be full on Turalyon. I don't even think he's going to be full on himself. He'll be a different boy at the end of this. He's been seeing some stuff. He's been a rough go of it, but I'm really curious to see where they're going to take it. And by the way, Shadowlands is canon.
Shadowlands is canon. Sorry, everyone.
Ian just said it. He had a hard time in Shadowlands.
Ian did say it. Yep. It's true. It's canon. I'm okay with that. I didn't like all of it, but I'm okay with it being canon. But I think just all in all, Anduin's going to go through a phase of redefining himself, as many of us do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So he's going to be redefining himself. And while we redefine ourselves, we're going to redefine cinematic in my mind, because I have a question for you, and Ian's going to set this question up. So here it is.
The continent as a whole that begins on the surface and extends beneath the earth, right, is we're calling Khazalgar. This is an ancient home to the Earthen. It's actually just off the west coast of Pandaria, about between Pandaria and Kalimdor. You know, just a couple hundred nautical miles away from a certain sword that's sticking out of the southern end of Kalimdor.
Is that what Sargeras was aiming for? Was that the pilot hole? The Corway? was he being like, all right, there's the whole shit. Because, I mean, he is huge, right? Comparison.
He's really big, and it was a really chaotic moment, too. So maybe he missed.
He didn't have a lot of time.
Brawl did say that the sword's aiming for something.
Then Ian was like, it could have missed. A couple hundred miles away. He's been like, where is the spot? Where is it? Oh, that looks close enough.
Maybe.
I don't know. It feels like the way Ian said that to me is he's just like, he was trying to stab it through the Corway, right? He was trying to like just get it right at the heart. And sorry, there was dirt in the way. He missed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you agree? I mean, did you have a similar vibe when you listened to that? And Ian was like, oh, this is a couple hundred miles away from a certain sword.
I mean, my first thought was that he was just trying to remind us, you know, hashtag what sword. But maybe Sargeras did miss, because it's been brought up a couple times, like, oh, the sword's not that far away. And Thrall was like, he was aiming for something. Like, maybe.
No, I don't know. It seemed odd to me that Ian would be like, here's the sword. It's like, here's the island. And just a little bit over here, if you look at the map.
Unless it's more of like a tongue-in-cheek.
Could be.
Geographical location for us.
Could be.
Maybe.
Could be. But I don't know.
But maybe not. Who knows?
I don't know. I think that's what might be happening. But that's more for funsies. Because we gotta go ahead and get into the kind of the meat and potatoes, really, if you will, of this episode. And that is this little clip. And we'll explain a little bit what's happening here. So here we go.
When we arrive to the Isle of Dorne, what's the first thing we'll see?
Well, so you're going to see something a bit different in Alpha from when the expansion goes live. There is an expansion intro experience that is not currently being tested. It's something that has some, you know, cool narrative elements that we want players to all experience together later in the year when War Within launches. But players will spawn in the Alpha on the Isle of Dorne, surrounded by some debris that will look pretty familiar and pretty distinctive, and really is the scars of an initial battle that seems like it didn't end so well. And the beginning of our journey, as with many expansions, is a bit of a mystery, a bit of an investigation of arriving in a strange land, having this threat that we face, these visions, these whispers that heroes around Azeroth have been hearing in recent months, but trying to understand the nature of the threat we face, how we're going to stop it, and our journey begins on the doorstep of these ancient earthen people who are going to begin, you know, helping us figure out where to go next.
All right. Now, it obviously wasn't super obvious based on just the audio alone, but if you watch the video, there are like we were kind of alluding to in the beginning of the episode before we played the spoiler bumper, that there was some very distinctive looking stuff. And you're like, oh, that looks familiar. It's Dalaran. That was the big purple spires of Dalaran that has been destroyed. Now, you gotta remember, this is not the first time that Dalaran has been destroyed, so I guess right. mages build quickly? I don't know. So, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it comes back after, so at some point after the War Within. Or, so there's another theory that I have cropping up in my head that we can certainly talk about. But, we got lots of time to talk about all of this and much more. But, What did you think, Allie, when you first saw this? I mean, you logged into Alpha, you played through a little bit, and you saw the aftermath that you were helping some folks out. So what was your, like, obviously you and I and no one has seen the intro story unless you work at Blizzard. But what do you think? What do you think happened?
My first thoughts when I was watching Wildcast was, oh, shit. And then get into Alpha, I'm like looking around like, what the crap happened? And you can very clearly see rubble in things that we've seen a million times in Dalaran. You know, from everything from banners to mailboxes to pictures that would be on the walls. And just the list is very long, including like one baddie who was in Violet Hold at one point. Like it was just so surreal to see like this rubble of a city that we have spent so much time in. And I like that it's impacts both sides, because both Horde and Alliance, you know, like this was our main city for like
two expansions
that are pretty, you know, pretty well liked in the community. So I am dying to know what led up to this. And considering that it's a bunch of Nerubians around, like, and that you see this in Wildcast, so it's not spoilers, it's in Wildcast, something went down. And I'm wondering if it was caused by Xalatath, like some kind of planned ambush.
Yeah, that's
my assumption. I've heard the suggestion that Dalaran was being moved over to the Isle, and maybe that's where the ambush happened, and that's why it crashed there.
Yeah, like, it's hard to really say exactly what happened. Like anything right now is just purely speculation. So 100% you can't assume that I know anything, because I don't know crap. Right. I don't work there. But my guess is, so in the beginning of Legion, one of the very first things that happened is the mages are like, hold on to your butts. And they freaking teleport the entire city way over to the Broken Shore. Like that's one of the very first things that happens.
Yeah, as they do.
So that's probably going to happen in this one too. But as soon as they do, they clearly Xalatath knew that this was a thing, right? Because someone, I'm not naming names, but someone picked up a dagger and was paying attention to what we were doing right around that same time that we zooped a city over there. Someone was like, oh, they can zoop cities. They're probably going to
zoop.
They're probably going to zoop a city over top the whole place that we're going to have that thing. She's probably thinking. That old Xalatath was probably thinking. She's like, all right.
It's entirely possible.
All right. So if they zoop that city, I'm going to make sure that I can unzoop that bitch. So I think that's very, very like, oh, high level overview is probably what happened. And we already know it's Nerubians involved, right? Because that's the main boss of this, at least first patch of the War Within.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's announced at BlizzCon. Very first raid is going to be the Nerubians. Right. We're going to go after the queen and we'll see all that fun stuff. But we also got to talk about, stuff, because just like in Legion where we lost someone, they're not saying what had happened, but just, hey, remember when we were talking about there's the little scrolls, the little text, scroll, the text that was floating down when you get to a thing? Yeah. They also say, we're going to take a moment for Khadgar. So we don't know what happened to Khadgar. We don't know if Khadgar pulled a Ronin and basically kept everyone safe and took one for, basically went down with Dalaran, right? That is a possibility. Khadgar's a really good mage. There's a part of me that's like, I don't think he went down. I think he pulled some shit. I think he's out there. I think he's still doing something. He's gonna pop up when we least expect it. I know it.
That's how I'm feeling too. Like I feel like it would be really crappy to kill off Khadgar so early, especially like he's just getting access to all the new libraries in Dragon Isles, and he has so much to learn, and he needs to be there, and he was the one that was all doom and gloom and stuff. Like he's got to be involved in things. I don't want to see him killed off yet, but I agree with you. Like if he is dead, it's some kind of blaze of glory, a sacrifice for everyone situation.
Yeah.
My gut says he'll show up later because somehow he managed to live because, again, very powerful mage. Or if he is dead officially, we know what happened to Medivh. Medivh died, but we still saw Medivh.
Yeah.
It could be some kind of, you know, back. Right. Like it could be some kind of situation with that. Right. So I don't think he's gone. But yeah, whether he died or is going to appear because maybe he was captured. Like what if like Xalatath captured him?
Or maybe that could be fun. I like that. That's a fun little thing that you can go with. Or if we continue with this ridiculous Star Wars analogy that everyone likes to keep using, Khadgar just got Obi-Wan, and eventually he's going to show up as a Force ghost, but like, knowledge is power. It'll be great.
Just like that. Who's he going to be the Force ghost to, though?
Jaina? He's just going to show up.
Or just everyone.
He's going to be the freaking floating head thing and be like, what's up, everybody? I'm still here. You just didn't know it. Yeah, he'll probably hang out with Jaina and go bug some other people and be like, ooh, what's going on? Knowledge is chowder? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. If he is a Force ghost of some type, the Dagar jokes that are going to happen are going to be epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously we don't have a body yet. That's the reason why I am hopeful. I am incredibly hopeful because I don't know. I have this like weird idea, this vision, if you will, of Khadgar holed up in one of like the main towers or something like that. You know, the towers where the Council of Six, I believe, hang out right over there. And he's right, a part of that with the Dalaran, the mages, and they're just like chilling up. They zoop the city over there. Big battle. Because, I mean, Ian even said there's a remnants of a battle that went poorly, right? Obviously. So it's not like just the Death Star and they went pow and just like shot the city out of the sky. It's a battle. So things happened. And I'm just kind of curious, how'd they knock it down? I mean, I guess they had to take out all the mages or something, right? To knock out all, like, because that's another thing. I don't necessarily know if they've ever actually told us how the city even stays up there, other than magic.
I don't think so. Not on an official level. Not that's coming to my mind, at least.
Yeah, because I just kind of assumed it was just up there, and it's not anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it kind of feels like Khadgar like pulled some crazy thing where he's just like, and teleport you off. He's like, just teleported a chunk of it away or something. And he's off and somewhere else. I don't know. That's just my feeling. I don't know why.
Maybe. I really want to know what happened. Like, we've already seen that the teasers and whatnots. And one of them is that one with Illyria where she's walking through Dalaran. Like, and now this has happened. Like, what's up?
Yeah. What is up indeed? Because I was like, okay. Walking through Dalaran in her original model and then getting like weird visions and I don't like all that. And then next we know she's in spooky mode or really cool mode. I'll go with really cool mode. and she's off doing some stuff. I'm really curious. I don't know. But okay. Bets, we're gonna take some bets now.
Okay.
Do you think that Khadgar is gone? Like our old boy Varian, right? Is he in fact gone? We're not getting Khadgar back. Or will we see him again? Those are your two choices. See him again at some point, or is he gone? And it could
we're
be
we're gonna see him again. We're gonna see him again. I don't think it's a resurrection issue either. Like, I think we're going to see him again alive.
All right. It pains me to say it, but because I think I'm operating off of a whole lot of, like, I don't know, hopium, the kids call it.
Hopium.
Hope. I'm just like, come on, Khadgar, you can pull through this.
Right?
Come on. Like, I feel like I'm like Simba, like on his dad go, we got to go home. Right? No, don't do this to Dagar. Like, but no, I think he might be gone. I think they're gonna have him pull a Ronin And I don't know. It's just, I don't like it.
I mean, if Khagar's going to go down, it's going to go down in the blaze of glory using his power to sacrifice and save others. Like, I can definitely see that. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like we'll see. Like every other named character that apparently was in the city at the time that it went down survived. So, you know, I'm just... Seems to me like someone had a helping hand, and I'm just, it makes me go, oh, no, don't do that. But I don't know, like the fact that they got me think, like feeling that way about this character that I think is so hilarious and just goofy, and he's just fun, but he's also like super insanely powerful. I don't know. Good job, Blizzard. That's all I got to say. Just like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I didn't like it with Varian dead. I didn't like that one bit, but he did. He's gone. He's dead, and I think that might be what happened to Khagar, and I hate it. I hate saying it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where Blizzard, as much as we may not like it sometimes, they still have to do these things that make us care, that drops our jaws, you know, that gives that shock value, and not for shock value's sake. Like, it's for the story. Like, it's life. Stuff happens. People die. There's tragedies. Like, so it makes sense that there'd be a wow, and, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And it has made sense in the story when it has happened, like with Varian, for example. So just not yet. Not like this, Khagar.
As they said in The Matrix.
Not like this.
Not like this.
Right.
All right. Now, I got a little bit of a question for you, Till. So why do you think Blizzard is trying to tell us? Like, what? Because this is them basically just telling us this is what went down. This is what we're waking up to. I mean, obviously, we're not going to tell you all of the narrative plot points that get us to that point, but this is what it leads to. What is their end goal? Are they trying to, like, prepare us, lessen the blow, or are they just building hype? Like, I don't know. What do you think their motivations here are?
I think they're probably building hype.
Yeah.
They're in the hype building stage. It makes sense.
It does make sense, because, I mean, it's like, well, you got my ass talking about it, so. I'm
but
curious.
That's also kind of what we do around here.
It
but
is
yes. kind of
what we do. It is. But, yeah. So, and now, since I don't, I agree with you, it does seem like this is all just a big, big hype thing. They're trying to talk about how they're going to be destroying Dalaran and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's, I don't like it. But do you have any idea of what actually, just your best guesses, what led to the events of it? Like, right, is it like we said, Zaltath was just sabotaging it, or is there more to it than that?
I have been trying to figure that out. I think it has something to do with Zaltath. I think she plotted and planned and schemed, as she does, maybe some kind of void bomb, something or other, blah blah blah. But I think it has to do with Zaltath, because I don't, now granted, maybe there's a lot of things we don't know about these current Nerubians, but I don't think the Nerubians could bring down Dalaran. Unless I'm underestimating them. What are you thinking?
Well, so I don't know everything of what's going to be going down. It does feel like there was some trickery from Zaltath and all that, and the Nerubians attacked. But I think the reason why they could do it is because Ian even described the Nerubians as one of the great superpowers of Azeroth. So,
yeah, I think I can't get over the whole spider people floating magical city.
Well, they're like insanely powerful and very smart and very cunning, spooky, spidery people.
I mean, maybe Zaltath used a void portal or void tear and got them into Dalaran to bring about some destruction and bring it down, maybe?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're all over the place when you first get there.
Like, they are. It's true.
Yeah, so it's not like they were just like off in their bunkers going poo-poo and just like shooting it out of the sky.
Right.
No, it seems like they got up and they were mixing it up, because again, I'm over here going, how does it even stay up? Is it like some crystal in the sewer or something that some mage has to check on every other day? Okay, I don't know. It never says. There's just a mage standing there going whoosh, 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 like for portals. So is
sure
that what you guys
that
are
noise
doing?
Too.
They kind of do make that noise. It's more of like, it's a little different. It's a little different. It's more like a wee, 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 wee. It's more like that. It's, what? That's what the portal sound like. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I learned something new.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something new, I also have another question. I have another question for you that is a lot of people are already talking about. I'm sure you've already seen the rumblings and the some grumblings, but mostly just the, you doing a, is this one of your, oh, we did it with Garrosh, now we're doing it with Sylvanas. Oh, we're doing it again. We destroyed one city, we're destroying another. Right? Is this going to be another freaking burning of Teldrassil where everyone's like, well, that was stupid? Or is this like, no, there's actually a damn good reason for this to happen.
It's not going to be another burning of Teldrassil. Like, I've seen the rumblings and everything, but I feel like parts of the community are a little quick to jump to that conclusion and those assumptions because it's fun and popular to be toxic about the game. And, you know, and obviously they have the right to their opinions. Personally, I feel like Blizzard has probably learned some lessons about how the burning of Teldrassil went down and the reaction to it and how it may not have gone quite as they had hoped in the end when all was said and done. And this feels different because, as I mentioned earlier, like this was a city that both Horde and Alliance used.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just complete. This is not going to be, you know, near genocide on one particular race for no apparent reason. Like, it's a city that we all have used and cared about. And I want to say that there's going to be a reason. And I feel like there's enough out there that we can make some speculation and guesses as we already have as to why it could have happened. And I feel like it's going to make sense once we see what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wasn't saying I was on board with the like, oh, you're just doing Teldrassil again. I was just like, are you going to pull it off this time? That was kind of my vibe, especially as I was, you know, watching the news and it was kind of coming out and we find out that was a thing that happened. And then I started watching some of the other content creators and things like that that were out there. So I stumbled across Kalias and Nevatil video. And here is actually what I think is the most important question that made me go, oh, OK, now I'm not so concerned, because at least, you know, if you go back in time to the early days of the burning of Teldrassil and you know who announced that stuff. Yeah, that guy. Seems to me like they didn't have a plan. They're just like, burn it down and we'll figure it out. Well, here's the question that Taliesin asked Maria Hamilton, lead game designer over in World of Warcraft. Question was, do you know how the story of the World Soul Saga will end? Right? Do you know the end of the story? Or are you just winging it? And the answer was yes. It was an emphatic yes. They know how it's going to end, and they're just filling in the blanks till there. So the fact that they know where they're going, they have a vision for the entire thing mapped out already, makes me very excited for where this whole thing is going to go. So
Maria's great. I like Maria. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, we don't know it yet. We know some inklings. We know that things aren't going to all go hunky-dory for us eventually. But it feels good. Like the saga right now, where we stand, it feels good. I'm excited.
I'm super excited for this saga right now. Now, talking about super excited, I don't have a clip to bring this in. I just have to bring it up. I'm sure you saw Dagran, right? Saw Dagran?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dagran's the best. So, question about Dagran. These are just fun little things. Hey, he's a bright young boy now. Very bright. He's kind of taken after, looks a little brannish, in my opinion.
He does. He's grown up. I like it.
Yeah, he's a little scholarly. He's got his notes. He's got his, I think he wears glasses too, doesn't he? Where he wear glasses?
I remember right, yeah.
Yeah, he's wearing glasses too. Oh, he's adorable. Anyway, you think he's ever going to take the throne?
Maybe down the road when he's older, because I feel, and we've talked about this before on this show, where it feels like Blizzard has taken time to kind of set up some new characters, remind us that other characters who were mentioned in the past are growing up, you know, much like Dagran and Tess and Frick. Alarion Tyrellian's kid. Oh, Arator,
yeah.
Like, you know, like we've gotten these reminders that, you know, these kids aren't kids anymore and they're growing up. So I can see maybe down the road, maybe him taking the throne once he has become a little more scholarly and learned in the ways of the world and whatnot. Having said that, do not kill off Moira. I will be very angry. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, don't do that. Especially don't have us do it like we had to kill his dad. I mean, how awkward would that be?
No, hey, don't, no.
Hey, Dagrin. Oh.
It hurts my heart. No.
Yeah, I met your dad once. Yep. Okay, bye.
What do you say? I wonder if she's ever had that talk with him and told him what happened.
You see that mother effer right there? Don't trust that bitch. He thinks he's cool with this freaking big old grayish mohawk of a freaking dwarf over there. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. He's one of them nasty wild hammers. Mm-mm. Don't trust him. Yeah, I ran that dungeon back in the day. I'm sorry, Dagrin. I didn't know. Thought he was a bad guy. He tried to kill me.
It was us or them.
Technically, he did sorry. Kill me many times.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is I came back. I have an immortal soul, damn it. I have an immortal soul. You can't keep me down. All right. All right, enough of
I mean,
Dagrin.
Do you think he will?
Do I think he's going to
take you gave your answer. Do you think he'll take
throne? Yeah. I think he's, yeah. Why would you bring him up? Why'd you bring him up? I think he's going to unite the clans. He's going to unite the clans.
Unite the clans.
Unite the clans. He's going to marry a wild hammer. It's going to be beautiful. That's how he's going to do it.
I like this. That's good.
Yeah, it'll be beautiful. It'll be great. Yeah. All right. Next clip is something I think both you and I were both hoping for when we get a recent addition to the game. Where's the button? There it is.
But one cool thing about this dungeon is that it's actually part of the main campaign as you play through Isle of Dorne. Now, I know some people are instantly saying, wait a minute, I don't like doing dungeons. I just like solo questing. That's terrible. Well, fortunately, in 10.25, towards the end of Dragonflight, we introduced this feature called Follower Dungeons. And we're really happy to bring that to the level up dungeons in War Within right from the outset, so that you can go in solo with NPC allies as you play through the dungeon, if that's what you prefer. Or, of course, you can just queue up with regular with friends or random group mates through the group finder. But what this lets us do is, where appropriate, we can really have the story flow directly through dungeons in a way that we couldn't in the past, in ways that at times was frankly awkward, because sometimes major villains die in dungeons. Dungeons are places of great importance in a zone, but we couldn't really tie them directly into the questing because we didn't want to create an obstacle for players who really just prefer to keep playing solo.
Now, in my opinion, this is some of the best news that came out of this video, because number one, it was something I immediately was hoping for when they brought it in 10.25.
Yep.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this, because I don't know how many times I have leveled through, I guess it would be eight times I've done this. So I'm counting the expansions, not how many times. So yeah, about eight times I've only leveled through the expansion, and it's like, hey, go do that dungeon. I was like, all right, well, let me queue up. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to keep questing. I'm not going to stop.
Well, plus, like, when you do dungeons, especially if it's an alt or you're a little behind in leveling or whatever it may be, or you just get that group where they're just go, 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 loot, loot, loot. And the rest of us want to actually slow down and enjoy the story and hear the dialogue and not have your guildies almost die because you stopped killing them because you were listening to Mozala and Bon Zombie. But so it'll be nice to kind of go through it and really get a chance to explore it.
Yeah, I'm really excited that this feature is going to be here on day one. Like they brought it in 10.25. It's going to be, oh man. Because yeah, I'm totally going to take advantages. I'm just going to do follower dungeon because I will admit I am the nastiest, horribliest casual when it comes to leveling my characters. I play it solo. I don't do it with anyone. Like, no, I don't want to slow you down. I don't want to feel a burden because I'm going to get up. I'm going to grab snacks. I'm like, and I just immerse myself. So yeah, leave me alone. Let me just level. And I'm just going to treat these dungeons as a leveling experience because I don't know. It would have been nice if you knew the Balakar Khan or whatever frick his stupid butt name was. That guy dies in the dungeon. He just, because I kept questing. I was like, oh, that's what happened to him. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and there is a portion of the player base that doesn't want to do group content. And
I just don't want to slow down because I'm a DPS. The queue takes forever.
Right. And so now, like, these people who don't want to do that group content and don't want to do dungeons as they are. Like, they're going to get a chance to experience these stories through the dungeons now, which kind of also opens up more possibility for a Blizzard to do things through dungeons, which, you know, I like having formerly done a podcast about lore through dungeons. I'm super excited about that.
It'd be nice if they just put follower dungeon stuff in all of it. Wouldn't it be nice? That'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
Just do followers all the way back. That'd be pretty cool if they actually implemented that in like older dungeons. Maybe not.
They might eventually.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty awesome if they managed to do that. All right. So I'm just super excited because obviously this is going to have some fun impacts to the story, especially the storytelling. Like that's just better if you can just. I really hope they put it even in a UI element when you get the quest. It was like, oh, you just want to do that with followers? Just want to go do it. It's super easy. It's like super easy. Just go do it. I'm hoping that they just put in like a seriously no. You don't even have to talk to anyone. These are AI, man. These are bots. You'll be fine. Right. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. All right. So what do we have here is the next one. This tiny little clip, little explanation of the City of Threads, which is at Nerubian Dungeon. So let's take a listen to this one.
The City of Threads. So this one is underneath the Nerubian city proper. And so it's really interesting to see the ancient civilization that the newer civilization was built on top of. And just to think about the layers of Nerubian history that, you know, is in this land.
Is it that the ancient civilization back in like Lich King?
Even far before that.
Oh, it's even farther before that?
Yeah, the Nerubians, I think, you know, we might think of them as monstrous or arachnid. They're one of the great powers, one of the great advanced civilizations.
Shush
of
Azeroth,
right up there with
wow.
The you know elves and trolls and the others that helped shape the course of the world's history. We've only really seen hints of them going back to Wrath. If you ran the Azjol Nerub or Ankhet dungeons, you could see, you know, their buildings off in the background. But you know they were a civilization that at its height rivaled the High Elves and the Nightborn on the surface.
That's insane.
They were able to go toe-to-toe with the Lich King's armies and win until the old gods and you know their forces on another flank eventually led to the Nerubians being overwhelmed. But really being able to explore what they're all about is one of the things we're most excited about when it comes to War Within.
All right, so Nerubians, we're obviously going to be learning a whole lot more about them because last time it was just, Lich King, and he's got some Nerubian friends, right? That's kind of all we knew about them. And everyone back in the day was like, oh, I wanted to go to Ankhet. I wanted to go here. I wanted to go check out all of the Nerubian place because there was plans for that back in Wrath. They just had development time. It was tough back then. It was tough. They couldn't get it in. So we got two dungeons instead. But like, what are you looking forward to learning about these Nerubians? Because this just sounds awesome. There's like the fact that they've got like layers upon layers of for like the cities and things like that. It's just that sounds freaking sweet.
I'm just so excited to see it. I mean, we learned a while ago that there was this vast underground kingdom of the Nerubians. And so to be able to see that and not just see it, because one of the things I always liked about Azjol Nerub, for example, and Ankhet, like you can see the distance. Like, you know, I told people to look up and look out. Like, you could see the city and kind of get those hints that it was vast and massive and you do want to go explore it. And so to be able to actually learn more about that whole kingdom and the Nerubians in general, like, I feel like it is a race that I have, like I said earlier, I've probably underestimated them. So I'm very much looking forward to exploring and learning a lot more.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I definitely underestimated. I'll tell you, I absolutely underestimated the Nerubians. I was like, oh, yeah, I always called them drippings from old gods because it's kind of what they are. They just grew up. They really grew up. Right. And we kind of get glimpses of them because the Nerubians are really offshoots of the the Akir, not the Akir, you know, whatever. I don't know. Bug name. It could be the Akir.
Insert bug name here.
Yeah. So yeah, the primordial bugs that dropped from were basically spawns of the old gods. And then they kind of had their factions that divided. And clearly the Nerubians were the winners, in my opinion, because, you know, they had the Mantid. They were like, we're the Mantid, right? You know, they just hung out in Pandaria. They were doing all right. And then they had the Karaji over in Ankaraj, but they were just like locked up in their temple and they couldn't do crap. And then the Nerubians took over the place.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm super excited to hear a lot more about this because this is even one of the things that as I was talking to Anne Stickney at BlizzCon, she was gushing over the Nerubians. And so I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff there.
It's gonna
be,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, look out for some roots there, everyone. Just some roots. Just keep your eyes out when you're in that area. So
I'm excited.
All right. So anything else with the Nerubians that you're thinking of? Well, I'm just excited because we don't really have much to go on.
I'm just excited. I am glad that they did do this arachnophobia mode.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I do have some friends that like legit have a very intense arachnophobia and it has really impacted them in certain sections of the game. So I'm happy that that's a choice for them.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty awesome. I might turn it on just to see the goofy crabs.
Right?
I just want to see the crabs. I just want to see what they look like. All right. Now, we're just about wrapping up here. We don't have much more to talk about from this whole clip. But this next clip, I do have to bring up because I jokingly, I don't know, I swear Ian must have listened to an episode of this and was like,
right.
Freaking no. You artists need to figure this crap out because this is what they said.
Yeah, we were very excited to be able to make pretty much all mounts be able to dynamically fly. So even Nimron's head, Ian, we figured it out. We made it work. So
I'm really excited to see Nimron's head going like super fast.
It's bullshit. I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy against me. Actually, I think that's freaking awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I don't even have Nimron's head and I want to see it go zoom zoom.
I do have it, but I didn't get it. It's not an alpha. I will say, though, I have the Hive Mind mount, like, in retail.
Right, yeah.
And it's an alpha. It entertains me to no end because the tentacles, like, the way they wiggle when you're doing the dynamic flying.
Oh, you're saying that the tentacles go like...
Like they in unison, as one group... They wiggle and just go. It's so great. And then the cat, like if you have any of the cat mounts or whatever,
Hold on a second. I have a question. This is blowing my mind. Is it that Hive Mind mount that you could fit like five people inside of
yes.
it?
Yes.
And that son of a bitch dynamically flies?
Yes. So I'm going to have to get my guildies when it goes live and test this. Because I don't know how that is going to... If that also is how that works.
Oh, God, that would be so funny. As you're like,
don't worry, it's going to be tested.
Allie's clearly the driver. She's the one that's doing all the freaking races.
Which I have been testing, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. But the like, for example, if you have the, oh, my goodness, one of the jewel crafting mounts that flies, like the jade, sapphire and the jade and all those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, right. So those dynamic fly. And it's really cool because like it's a bunch of cat pounces, basically. Not like the dramatic up and down, but just like a distance pouncing.
So they're
for the flying. It's really like cool Voltron. Looking.
They fly like Voltron, basically.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, okay. It looks really cool. Like I'm. There's a lot more. There are many more dynamic flying mounts than I was ever expecting. I know grammar good, and I'm just really excited about what they're doing with that because that's really cool.
Yeah, I was clearly wrong. They pulled it off, everyone. The sons of bitches pulled it off. Like, I can't believe they did it, but there it is. All right. Well, that is going to bring kind of like that was the lore parts of the WoWcast. There's a lot more to it. It's a decent chunk of a video. Definitely check it out. It's on the launcher if you haven't seen it yet. So, yeah. But before we go and we start wrapping up here, do you have any other topics, highlights, something that you're just dying to talk about with this alpha that you've seen so far that folks just at home need to know about? And there's like, I don't know, Mimiron could fly now.
There's flowers that when you pick them, like right now in Dragonflight, you know, if you're herbalist, right? Pick flowers and you get like your frost and arcane, like all the different awakens and whatnots, right?
Sure.
There are flowers, and I'm telling you now, this is more of a PSA, if you will. There are flowers, I'm assuming it's going to be everywhere, but definitely in Alduin, that have like almost arcane runes and glowiness with it, and when you pick it after a very short amount of time, it makes you go flying backwards. So if you're sitting on a cliff and you pick it without knowing this, and you're just like, oh, what does this do? And you pick it and you go flying backwards, you might die. So
so what you're saying is before everyone does a PSA, this episode will be out before the end, okay? Because apparently the parasol is still on the whole friggin'. My video is going like it's absolutely on crack. I love this. This is cracking me up. What the hell? There it goes.
What is your issue right now?
I don't know.
Your Discord's all messed up tonight.
The Discord is being a little weird. Okay. Okay. Stop. Stop Discord from being crazy. Anyway, go buy your parasol and it'll be fine. And you'll float down.
And you, that's or just you position it. Yourself before you do it. And then you, instead of dying, you just go, wee! And it's fun.
Wee! And then you do the parasol and you don't die. Then you don't die.
There you go.
That's
or
it.
Or levitate. Levitate didn't save me the next time.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that. I have Heroic Leap. And I choose that physics is bullshit, and I just jump in the middle of the air, and I'm fine.
There you
that's
go.
That's the just way of the leap. Word. This is the way. That's how we do way. It. We just, when you are falling through the air, jump. Everyone, did you hear that? This is how you prevent yourself from dying when you hit the ground. You jump midair. And you go, rah, superhero landing, and you're good to go. That's how I do it. It's really bad on the
superhero
knees.
Superhero landing.
Yep. Really bad on the knees.
I'm though. Sure it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. I don't have anything else to say. That's it.
Yep. I mean, I could ramble for a while because I'm really excited, but we'll.
We have lots of episodes to ramble.
Yeah, it's fine. They'll be just other times.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you can do the thing with the stuff and the things.
I can't do the thing with the stuff and the things because it's my turn to do the stuff with the things. Hey, remember how earlier I was like, hey, end of the show, if you want support for the fun. Well, now we're at the end of the show. And as a part of the show, where we say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us and keep the show going. If you'd like to join their ranks and support the show, you can do that by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore. And while we like to give a thank you to all of our patrons because you're all just so amazing, we do like to give a special thank you to the top patrons. Top shelf patrons, if you will. We got Lex Rance from over there for Azeroth, who just got a new co-host, which is super exciting. And we have Monkey Valhalla. Fucking monkey.
Fucking monkey. Yeah, there you go. I was distracted. Shipping your
dread. I was just too excited to do it. We have Jaleel. We have Nick Lobre. We got a lot of L's right here. Craig Lemus. We got Icus.
There's another L. What?
There's another L. Yeah. Lemus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. Yep. Got Icus. We have Cerith. We have Nadun, Night Warrior.
Night Warrior.
We got Mud. We got Avrodon. We got Dungeon Master Burke. We got Greybeard. And we have Dracorus. Thank you all so, so much. Really, truly appreciate every single one of you.
Yeah, y'all the best.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
All right. Obviously, we like to end every episode with some good damn news. And this is what I like to call some good damn news. Because the VW plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee is set to join the UAW. Right? That is the United Auto Workers, if you are unfamiliar with that acronym. Well, here we go. Quoting from the New York Times article, they say, in a landmark victory for organized labor, workers at the Volkswagen plant in Tennessee have voted overwhelmingly. This is not one of those like meh votes. No, overwhelmingly to join the United Automotive Workers Union, becoming the first non-union auto plant in a southern state to do so. So good.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The outcome is a breakthrough for the labor movement in a region where anti-union sentiment has been strong for decades. And it comes 6 months after the UAW won record wage gains and improved benefits in negotiations with the Detroit automakers. So awesome freaking news. I just love to hear this kind of stuff. And I really hope that, yeah, they get better pay, better quality of life, and better working conditions. Because that's what you like to hear whenever, a plant joins the another union or something. Or the Starbucks, different shops get unionized. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what I like to see. All right. No, that's it. That's it, everyone. It's union time. Yep.
It's union time.
It is union time. But I don't have anything else to say. I was just excited to hear that.
It's great.
It is some great news. But yeah, I guess that's it. If we don't have anything else. Because yeah, they joined the union and we're going to, I don't know, say good job, all everyone in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Because you're the best.
Chattanooga. That's what I'm going to say.
That is a fun
Chattanooga.
One. It just reminds me of, you know, it gets hotter than a hoochie coochie or something. You know, Alan Jackson, yeah, I'm not too.
I got you.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Ali live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/Aliandris. And you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/Jin's Joint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at Jin's Joint, and you can follow Ali at Ali_K. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.